I'll give everybody a second here. Did anybody ever have that feeling like somebody's watching you? Because they are.
I sit here week after week on Sundays and I watch people's faces. I watch their actions and everything else, and they're totally oblivious that they're right in front of people when they do some of the things they do.
Totally oblivious to it. That there are people watching them. It doesn't matter. They continue to do it week after week. And I set that up because later on when I get into preaching, I'm going to use that as an example.
Amen.
There's something I wanted to make a point out of that. And anyway, so pray for me and my wife. We're going through a lot. If anybody doesn't understand the importance of why God set the household in order in the way He did, then go ahead and try to be a husband. And then put everything on top of that you have to deal with. And then along with all that, all your physical stuff, and then all that having to be a safe place for your family.
Oh.
That's the responsibility that these so-called males have forgotten these days, is that God has put you in charge of that woman. And I'm not talking about as a slave driver, somebody you can treat any way or all way you want. He put it there. Why? Because he knew that she was going to need somebody for her to be there for. And when God brings a lesson to a family, you ever notice that? Maybe some of you don't notice. Maybe you haven't gotten that point in your life. But God will and can correct a family as a family.
Yeah.
I believe that wholeheartedly. And just in the past few months, me and my wife have been going through a lot. We're still going through a lot. But He's taught us a lot of things. We always did Bible devotion. Always. But we had stopped for a while. And then last week I said, that's it. Back into the Bible devotions. We're going to move it to dinner time. We're always, my family doesn't eat without each other. We have dinner together every single night. Every single night we're at that table together. So anyway, every night that we're together, we're going to get in the Bible and we're going to read it. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, but just in the 7 days that we've been doing that, I noticed an attitude change.
Amen.
We're handling things differently. The kids, they're noticing their problems. Me and my wife are handling things that are a little different than we have. And just a little bit of that Bible reading once a day together, besides our own, besides what me and my wife already do. And I'm just telling you now, it's a life changer. Matter of fact, I gotta read something off my phone again. Isn't that something? And I was talking to my wife earlier about some things, and the Lord put something on my heart, and I said, she said something. I said, "Well, Amy," I said, "He's gotten us out of worse stuff. Why not now that we're His? Before we got saved, me and Amy, we went through some hard stuff. I said, why not now that we're His? As we love and teach our children, so must He teach His. His feelings don't get hurt when He corrects us because He loves us and He knows what's best. As a human, it hurts us sometimes to have to correct our children, but it does not hurt God to correct us because He knows what's best for us. That's His love that drives Him to do that. And I'm just telling you, it doesn't mean He loves me any less because He corrects me, but He knows the outcome. He knows what needs to be done. Therefore, He's going to do it. He's going to stay firm on it. He's going to stay on that. Sometimes we like to waver a little bit, and I know my child needs discipline at this point, but sometimes our heart hurts for him. We can be merciful, but there's a time to be merciful, and there's a time that needs to be correction. God knows when the correction needs to be. And so I told her that. I said, He knows what's best. I said, as humans, we must feel the pain of His correction so that we never go back to what got us here. We have to learn to hate it as He does. I'm telling you right now, God will never deliver you from anything out of your life until you hate it the way He does. You'll stay right in it. I guarantee that. People say, well, what about this part of my life? I fight hard to get out of it. Because God knows your heart. He knows you're alive. You don't want it out of your life. If you want it out of your life, you'd get sick and tired of it and you'd hate it. Once you get to that point, God says, then I'll take that from you. I know that because there's some things He's delivered me from. And I just had to get to a point where I hated it like He hates it. I believe me and my wife right now are going through some corrections. And you know what? And until we hate that thing, it's going to stay in our life. I don't believe God's just going to leave us out there dangling. Who do you think, Amy, honestly, who do you think that I think is going to help us? I tell her every day, where else are you going to turn to? The world? Go ahead. All it's going to do. do is kick you, beat you up, spit you out, and leave you there. Jesus Christ is not going to do that. We're going to keep on. We're going to stay on the path that He has chosen for us. We're going to go through whatever He's given us. And it's not an easy thing. I told the kids in Sunday school, I don't have an S on my chest like I'm some Superman who can just go through the corrections of God and be okay. And that's not how it is. But I know one thing. I have a hope. And I'm going to come through the other side of Jesus Christ. That's how I go through it. Not always easy. I tell you what, it's not easy what we're going through. But I'm sure glad my Father in heaven loves me enough to take the time to teach me some things, show me some things, help me to have understanding. And you see, through all this, through all that we're going through, we've learned that reading the Bible together changes lives. We've learned that kind of stuff. Me and Amy have drawn closer together. Just that. That's what correction does. Opens your eyes to things that otherwise you would have missed. An unsaved person would not understand that. They would not see this, the point. They would not see His love in this whole thing. I believe God loves me, and He has to correct me. That's why I correct my two children, not for my sake, but for their sake, for their own good. God does that to us, for our own good, for what we need. And so anyway, I sit back sometimes as a saved person. I'm sick, man. I mean, just here, pray for me because me and my wife, we have a lot going on, and then I have a lot of physical stuff going on. I have a lot of, I'm kind of getting nervous because every time I do anything that's exerting, I'm getting bad chest pains and I'm just not feeling good and stuff like that. Real tired all the time, so I believe I'm going to start having some heart problems. Hey, man, just keep us in prayer. We need it. Because, just got to get through this thing. Just got to get through everything that we're going through. And honestly, I tell you no lies. Me lying to you will never benefit me. But I just tell you this one thing. I trust Jesus Christ. I trust the Lord God Almighty that whatever happens, we're just going to be in His hands. Amen. My wife came in the room. She was crying last night. I said, babe, why are you crying? Because she sees. I've been going through a lot physically. I'm at a ton. I can sit here and ramble off a bunch of stuff that physically I've been going through. And we've been together 12 years. She goes, 20 years wouldn't be enough for me and you being together. She goes, I want more than 20 years with you. Who would ever think that somebody would love Dale Morey like that? Not possible without Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Wouldn't have been possible. There was a woman who hated me, who wanted God to take me out of this world because I was so evil and mean to her. And now she wants me around. Anyway, as a saved person, I often sit back and watch my family and friends, and I watch people at work, and the question pops into my head, Lord, why can't they just see the things the way you do? I see it, why can't they? We want so bad that they see it just because we see it and they don't. That's not the case. An unsaved person doesn't see things the way we do anymore. And at one time in our life, we sat there in that same exact seat and we would have preachers and evangelists and people praying for us and just hoping that our eyes would be open and something would happen in our lives. And you know what? It didn't happen until it was on God's timing. But yet we want to sit there and we want to harp on people and beat them up and everything else. And I'm just going to tell you this. They'll never see it until God opens their eyes. They're just not going to see it. And it took a lot. It took a long time for God to work on my heart, for me to finally be able to see one simple thing that He needed me to see, that He's seen a long time ago. He needed to open my eyes to it, and it was life-changing. I got saved that day. Got saved that day. He showed me a whole lot more, but there was one place that I wouldn't agree with Him on. I just had to break my heart. Just had to go ahead and break my will. My will had to be broken. That's our job for our children. We need to break their will. Teach them. Train them. What do they do in the army, in the military? They take all that away from them and train them the way they want them. Well, that's what we got to do with our children. Because they got that sin nature. We got to try to go ahead and corral that sin nature and show them the way of Jesus Christ. Show them the way. How much better life can be as a Christian compared to living your life out there in the world. Destruction. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2, please, starting in verse 9. The Lord gave me this, and I just always sat back and said, Lord, how come this person just can't see it this way? And what's going on here? And you want so bad for people to see it. You want to grab them up sometimes and shake them and go, why can't you see it? And I'll explain that here in a minute. I think 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I'll read through it, and then I'm going to expound a little bit on it. But as is written, not seen, nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that be your sin nature, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know why people can't see the way a Christian sees? They do not have the Spirit of God in them. They have the spirit of the world and their sin nature still in control of their life. An unsaved person will not see things the way we see them. They will not understand them the way we understand them.
Right.
Let me just go back and read verse 1. It says, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. People wouldn't understand. I get up here and I would tell them, some of the things that we go through, not all things. Some things are just what happened in life. But some things God has to bring correction on us. Those things happen in life. But they couldn't understand why I would say that. They wouldn't understand why reading the Bible is important. How many of you really, honestly in your heart, really 100% believe that going home and reading your Bible and doing what it says is really important? The Spirit of God is going to tell you that thing. Yea, the deep things of God. That includes reading your Bible, coming to church, and everything. It's easy. I'm not going to say it's totally easy. It's easier to get up and come to church and open your Bible at home. It's easy to be a Christian while you're in this building, or it's easy to pretend that you're one or wherever you're at. But the real thing is when you walk out that door or that door, then what's it all about? What's really in your heart? What are you really? But God had revealed them unto us, but for his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man in him? That is your sin nature. You know the things of man. You know as an unsaved person the wickedness and the vileness that's in your heart. You know why you know that? I'm just going to tell you this why you know that, because you've been sitting under a real preacher. Otherwise, you'd be out there with all them other fools, not knowing. All you know is the things of man and the things of this world. That's all we knew until we came into a church. Even as an unsaved person, I started seeing things. Though the Spirit of God did not live inside of me, I did not see things the way pastor would preach about that Bible. I didn't understand the way that I do now. I didn't see the things the way I do now. I sit back and scratch my head and go, why does that person want to do that? Don't they see that that's killing them? Don't they see it's hurting them? Because I had the spirit of man inside of me. That spirit of man doesn't throw up a warning that's wrong, that's bad. If it did, you wouldn't need the spirit of God inside of you.
Right.
But that sin nature's right there. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead, do what you gotta do. Now verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given of God. But not,
listen, when I got saved, the spirit of the world did not come inside of me.
The spirit of God came inside of me, and guess what? It started kicking the world out. The things of the world didn't matter to me much anymore. The things of God, church, reading, studying, living my life the way that he would call me, that started mattering to me, and less and less and less of the world really meant anything to me. Now, I'm still in the learning process. Of course, I still have worldly things in my life and such, but you know what? They get less and less. The closer that I draw to God, the closer that I draw to him, the closer that I get to him, the farther and farther the things of this world mean anything to me. Now that's something that would have been, I mean, listen, you could not have paid me to do something like that. It just was not in me to do that. But you see, something happened.
Amen.
In October 2011. God came inside of me and lived inside, and things started changing. Is that something? That's something a lot of Christians forget. They forget that once when God comes inside of you and the Holy Ghost is teaching you and talking and trying to show you the things in the Bible, and you just totally ignore them, there's something wrong. There's something not right there when a Christian can sit there for 30 or 40 years living any way they want and say that you have God living inside of you. And that doesn't make sense to me. As a new Christian who I've only been saved just a little over 3 years, I can't comprehend that because of the King James Bible tells me different. You can't convince me that change is not going to happen. You cannot convince me that when a person gets saved, they're not going to change. You can't convince me that. You can't tell me any different than this King James Bible can. And so therefore, I didn't receive the spirit of the world, but I received the Spirit of God, which we also speak not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Wonder why they sit there and they don't see the way we do, because they've got the natural man, that sin nature, still living inside of them, still controlling them. They can't see, they can't comprehend why we do the things we do, why we say the things we say, why we try to live the way we live. It doesn't make sense to them. They think we're foolish. I'm just going to tell you this now. The other day something happened. Thursday, whoever was at Bible study heard, Amy stopped the whole Bible study. They heard her blurt something out. It's because something happened on Thursday.
And when that thing happened, I would say, I got served with some papers. And when I got served with them papers, one of our enemies, not my so-called fist enemies, but an enemy of the gospel, somebody who would love to see me fall and love to see me walk away from this church, was sitting in that car when it happened. They seen it. And later on, that person asked me, well, what's going on? What's going on with that? Not because they were concerned about me, because they think that I'm falling. They think that we're giving up. They think that life is over for me and Amy. They don't understand it's only getting stronger and it's only getting better. That's an enemy of the gospel. He's an enemy of the church. He's the enemy of me. I'm just telling you now, because somebody came and served me with papers, isn't going to make me walk away from Jesus Christ. Doesn't lack, my faith isn't lacked anymore because some bad things are happening in me and my wife's life. Not happening. Matter of fact, it's gotten a little stronger, don't you think, Amy? I believe God has a way of getting you draw close to Him. He has a way of doing things for you. He has a way of teaching you. He's got a way. Hey, listen, if I didn't go through things, how would I ever trust Jesus Christ? If I didn't go through some hard stuff, how could He ever get me to the point where I fully trust Him? How? It's not going to come by my natural man. The Bible just said that. Things have to happen. Things have to be allowed to happen. You got to go through things so that way you can fully trust Jesus Christ. Now, I had a hard time trusting any person. Matter of fact, a female at that. Pastor knows 7 years ago when I came here, I didn't trust a woman as far as I could throw one, and I couldn't pick them up now because my back is half broke anyway. But I'm just saying I couldn't trust one as far as I could throw one. And now you're telling me that I have to believe in this guy, Jesus Christ, who I can't see? Who I can't touch. See? He taught me though. You can rely on me. And I'm just telling you now, the natural man, Debbie, doesn't want us to trust Jesus Christ. The devil, the world does not want to, your flesh does not want to trust God, does not want to trust Jesus Christ. You know that. It will do everything in its power to make you not trust. Why? Because there's people watching to see how strong you think you really are in Jesus Christ. What are you really about?
You see, they don't understand that I understand that my Father only loves me and that things have to happen in my life and that He's only trying to show me things, teach me things, correct me, love me. I don't feel like God. I don't have bitterness towards God. I don't think God hates me. I don't believe He's angry at me. I don't believe He has wrath about me. It's just something that He has to teach me. I don't have any bitterness towards God. Why would I get up and pray and read to somebody I have bitterness towards? I don't. I don't have bitterness towards God. Why would I come in here and love to come to church? I don't know about you guys, but I love coming to any church. I just love church.
Amen. Gosh, I do. I don't know who asked Pastor, what am I going to do Thursday night now? Yeah. He said study, which, yeah, okay, that's good. But still, I miss being around you guys. You guys have become like family to me. And but the hearing the word of God, man. Just the last few weeks, the stuff Pastor Haynes been preaching and everything. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just been lighting me up, and I'm like, this is why. You see, my father didn't just leave me out there hanging. He just showed me a little, and I would pay more attention to him. I'd be able to catch on to things a little quicker. I'm a little slow anyway. But he didn't just leave me out there hanging. He just showed me gently. This is going to have to happen.
But I'm just telling you now, the natural man, people out there, they don't understand that. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. No longer do I have the mind of this world. No longer do I have the mind of my sin nature. Though, yes, they can both all pop up, and I have to defeat them. But I'm just telling you now, the mind of Jesus Christ. I want the things for my life. I want the same things for my life that Jesus wants for my life. It's just getting there. That's the problem. It's being obedient. It's listening. It's trusting. All that stuff is a work. Why? Because you have the natural man, you have the devil, and you have the world working against you at all times. But see, somebody who's not saved would not understand that. They don't get it. They don't see that. Drinking and drugging and smoking and all this stuff. Hey, they're all right with all that stuff. It's okay to go out there and fornicate and everything else. They don't see it the way we see it. They don't. Hey, listen, nobody thinks beyond living on this earth. Nobody realizes anymore that there's an eternity that you're going to have to live. Nobody's thinking about an eternity. Nobody. Nobody's thinking about for the rest of your life. I tell you the honest truth. I pray, Lord, please, please, I don't want to die right now. Not because I'm afraid. I know where I'm going. But I don't want to die right now because I just started living 3 years ago, Lord. I'm loving my life. You're like, he's crazy. All the stuff he goes through, he's loving his life. Yes. I've been through a whole lot worse in my past, trust me, than what I'm going through right now. But this time I have Jesus. This time I have hope. This time I have a life. This time I have a wife who absolutely loves me and wants me around. I have a church. I have a Bible. Why would I want to stop doing that now? No. I'm just starting to live. I want to continue to live. So, Lord, if you can find it in your heart just to let me live and enjoy life a little more, hey, give me another chance to raise some children. I'm loving that.
Amen.
I don't know how good I am at it, but you know what? We'll see. We'll see in eternity. If they're standing there in heaven, then I did all right. If not, then hey.
Don't think I don't care about and love my kids. I pray for all my kids, but
I've only been able to raise two. You know what I ask every day? Lord, please. I have three other children that aren't here, and I can't seem to reach them, Lord. I can't get them for you, but you know somebody who can. Would you please be merciful and just send somebody to them? Wow, what a blessing it would be to get a phone call from one of my children that just got saved. Mm-hmm. They know what Dad stands for. They know what I'm about. But I never had a chance to be in their life. But boy, I tell you, God's merciful. He sure could do that.
Heck, he did it for me. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 4. I want to read read this here. But you know, this is the reason why people can't see. There's some more reasons we're going to get into. I got 20 minutes. I should be able to get this done.
1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to start in verse 4 and read right on through verse 7. Here's another reason why. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see that? Listen, the devil has got... Listen, we all sat in a place where the devil has had our minds blinded. Just absolutely shut off to the things of God. The world, you know, filled it up. Our sins filled it up and all. So we were absolutely, just absolutely blind. It says, unless the glorious light of the gospel. You know, that gospel was preached, and I started hearing it. And guess what? That light started turning on. It was real dim for a long time. You know? Old-time Baptists used to come in. I tell you, them guys preach, man. I mean, they preach their rear end off. For the years that I was in there, they even had revival service in there. They preached the King James Bible. They did a good job. It just started turning that light on just a little bit more. And then it just got me interested a little more. Then I knew. I want to know somebody Listen, I wanted to go to a church that was going to stay in a King James Bible. That's all what I knew when I left prison. That's what I knew, is that I need to go out there and find a King James preacher, Bible believer, somebody who's living a Bible. Well, we tried. It failed. So we left. We came out here. We looked out here. That's all I'll say is we looked out here. And then a few years later, John comes up to my house. I didn't go to church right away. I think it was 3 months or whatever. Amy started going. She goes, "You have to come." He preaches the King James Bible like I've never heard of. Bang. My antennas went up. I said, "That's what I want. I go hear this guy." I thought I knew Bible. Didn't I think I knew? I did. I thought, yeah. I don't know Bible. I can live any way I want because I know it. You know what? That knowledge of the Bible didn't mean no good until I got in here.
That's right.
Didn't keep me from sin or nothing. But anyway, so I started hearing him preach, man. I just knew something happened. There's something there. There's something the way this Bible's coming out. There's something here. And that right there, that's when that light started coming on. That's when he was preaching the gospel. And that light got brighter and brighter and brighter. And to the point where God had to get me to that point where he'd break me. Bang, it was over. See, for all those years, I lived like I thought I was saved. I can live my life any way I want, still go to heaven. Ain't that something? How foolish. It ain't happening. I'm not saying a Christian can't make mistakes. But you know what? The desire. You're calling God a weakling. You're calling Jesus Christ has no power whatsoever. None. And he lives inside of you and he can't change you? He's changed millions and millions and millions of people. And you mean to tell me that he lives inside of you and can't change you? You can live your life any way you want and get away with it? I'm sorry, it disagrees with the King James Bible. It just does. It doesn't sit right with me. But anyway, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not of us. Unsaved people will not see or understand the way a Christian does, why they do the things they do, because they do not have the Spirit of God living in them. All they see is the devil, their sin nature, and what themselves want to see, and the things and the ways of this world. Their minds are absolutely blinded. They can't see past tomorrow. Matter of fact, most people sitting in the room can't see past the next half hour. That's just how it is. In any room that you go in, people aren't thinking that far into the future anymore. Who thinks about the future anymore? Who really thinks about it? You think about it. People live. I mean, they live like it doesn't matter if there's a tomorrow or not. So why are they going to think it? Listen, there's no fear of God in any of them. There's no fear of God. Anyway, Jesus had to open their understanding of the scriptures. He had to do that even face to face, and even seeing that all Jesus did while he was still alive. How many of us would love to have stood face to face with Jesus and heard him speak or preach? Guess what? We do. And it's right here in front of you. John 1, 1 through 5 and verse 14 tell you that Jesus is the Word. Listen to me. You don't have to go and be where Jesus was to have Jesus in front of you. It's in the Bible.
Right.
But you know what? People do not believe that. Even Christians who blatantly call themselves Christians will not even open their Bible and read it like they're supposed to. And yet they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who came down here to save them. They believe that they got washed in their blood, but they can't have the audacity to sit here and listen to what he has to say in their Bible, and they won't open it up and do what it says. He gave us the Bible for a reason. And it's not to sit there and collect dust. It's a transform. It's life transforming. But anyway, that's a whole other ball game there. Man, my mouth is dry. Luke 24:44 through 49 says, "He saith unto them, these are the words," thank you, Zane, which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Do you understand? It is not Dale Morey, not Pastor John Asquith, or anybody else that opens our understanding. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Bible in front of you that will open your understanding. Let me give you another verse here. It says, God gives understanding. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man. We know there's a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. We know that we had the sin nature. Well, who's going to give us the understanding of the Bible? Who's going to give us the understanding? Man can stand up here and say all that they want. But who's going to give you the understanding of the Bible? God Almighty. We see in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Luke, and Job that God, not man, has to give lost people the understanding. He has to enlighten their eyes so that they can see. We see because Jesus lives in us. God has to open their blinded eyes that their sin nature, the devil, and this world has blinded. It is not in the nature of man to search for the things of God. God draws them to himself. I'm just telling you now, it is not in the nature of man, and you can see it more clearly today than ever. It is not the nature of man just to wake up one day and say, I'm going to search for God.
Right.
It is not going to happen. God has to draw people to himself. It says that Jesus Christ had to give them understanding. The Almighty had to give them understanding. Listen, let me not get ahead of myself because I'm going to. But let me read this scripture. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone of their own way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the people today. That is people who are filling the church pews. They're calling themselves Christians. Those are the ones that today are out in the world. They have nothing of the things of God.
Right.
They'll hang a cross and put a bumper sticker on, and that's it. That's as far as they're going to go without anything that has to do with God. It's so evident in their life. Why? Why? Listen, because God has not opened their eyes. They think he has. But I'm just telling you now, when God has opened your eyes to things, when you start getting that understanding, you will covet more of it.
Amen.
You will not be satisfied with what God gives you one little bit at a time. He does that for a reason. But I'm just telling you now, if you don't covet what God has to say in this Bible, if you don't covet what he wants to teach you and the things that he wants to give you, then you're missing something. You will covet more of what God... That is my longing desire, is to clearly see what God has for me, what he wants for me, the Amen. Thing he wants out of my life. I mean, that's something that we should covet. And how am I going to get that? Yes, I can get that praying to God. Yes, man, I can communicate. But how is he going to communicate the best with me? The Bible. The Word of God is going to show me that. It's going to enlighten my eyes. Listen, I used to study when I was in prison. I studied Bibles, NIVs, and all that stuff. I'm just going to tell you now, God had to erase the garbage out of my mind and fill it with his Word. And I'm just telling you, I see things now that commentaries can't even touch.
Amen. Right.
I'm just telling you that. And where is it? In a King James Bible.
Yes.
Me sitting alone with God. Him opening my eyes to things.
Amen.
But you know what? An unsaved person won't see that. Well, I sat down a couple hours last week. Me and my friend over there, Chris, had a good talk. She just wanted to know, why can't she see things, you know, the way some Christians do? And I sat down and I explained it to her. Bam, this is why. And by the time she left, man, we were just about to have church right there. We had a good time. She understood. We had a good time. She's my friend, man. Really, I spend time as much as we can with together. She comes over to our house and this and that. She needs help with something. She calls or texts. Well, how did that come about? Came about by Jesus Christ, man. He changed my life and gave me a love for people. That's how that came about. But you know what? Unsaved person would just shun people like her and add them away. They don't understand. What do I want for Chris? Is it going to give me anything? This is for her.
What Jesus Christ can do for her and Adam and all the others has nothing to do for me. It has to do with them and Jesus Christ and what he wants for them. That's the desire of my heart. For them to get that. For them to start seeing things the way I see them. It wasn't because I did it. I didn't make me see these things. Thank God for God. Let me, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith is in me. God has to open their eyes. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. God opened their eyes there again too. So no matter how bad we want people to see the things of God and the way we do, it is not up to us to open their eyes and hearts to the understanding. It's God's. We read in 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers. Ministers. That's what I am. A minister. A minister. I'm a minister of what? I'm not a pastor. But that's a different. This is different here. But here it says, who is then Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I don't care. I can sit up here until I'm blue in the face, pass out and start having seizures and convulsions. Unless God shows anybody anything, it's going to be to no avail.
That's right.
God has to do it. He just gives us things that we're to speak, and that's why I said it wasn't pastor, it wasn't me, this and that, that got my eyes opened up. It was the Holy Ghost that moved in my heart to open my eyes to enlighten me to the things of God. And now guess what? After salvation, I start understanding, I start seeing. Why? Because God had to open it. I had people, Old Time Baptist Church, Pastor John, Willis Shankles come in, and just that night, bam, it just happened. I just got saved. But they all watered.
That's right.
All of them watered.
That's right.
Who gave the increase, though? That's the same thing with showing people about the Word. God has to show them. God has to open their eyes. No matter, you know, let me just not get ahead of myself. But that's who he says, so neither is he that planteth anything, is neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Paul understood that God uses man to help guide people into the truth of the Word of God. But God is the one who opens their eyes to seeing and their ears to hearing the things of God. Forcing what God has given us on them will only bring confusion because they cannot understand. If I sit here and I try to talk to some people in this room about the sacrifices out of Leviticus that they would not understand, all it would do is bring confusion. Well, this is why Jesus Christ had to die, and I go back into Leviticus, that would just absolutely confuse the daylights out of most people. But God gives us things that he wants us to give to people. It says this, Paul understood that. He said that we try to force what we see on people, and all it does is make them run away. All it does is bring confusion to them because nobody sits down today and nobody explains to them or helps them to understand. Most people say, yeah, I got saved. Well, what do you mean? Why'd you have to get saved? They can't tell you why they needed to get saved. They can't tell you how they got saved. They can't tell you the whole reasoning behind the whole. They have no clue why they even need to be saved.
Right.
Because people are too busy using that Romans road. Here you go, pray this prayer, say this, and it's all done. Well, why? Why? Do you know that? Do you know why you had to be saved? What did you have to be saved from? Yes, were you a bad person? Everybody say, yeah, I've been bad before. They have no clue they're breaking God's law. None. Not one inkling of it. They have no clue why they need to be saved. But God is not the author. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. We need to pray for their understanding to be open. Love them. Let them see the light of our testimony. Share the word with them and let God have his way in their lives. When we try to step in and rush the work that God has to do, we chase them away. Think about it. How many of us have had friends and family sitting here because of what we've tried? Or the life that we've lived. How many people are sitting in this room because of how you lived your life? How many people are sitting in this room because of the things that you've done? Tell me. How many of us have people in here because of that? None. But let me finish what I have to say here. It says, we get all puffy and look down their noses at them and they feel that.
I'm telling you right now, people understand that. I walk around, they find out that I'm a Christian, and their life is just a little lower to mine because of the place they're in, not because of who I am, but because of the place they're in. I'm telling you right now, you start looking down at them, they know that. They feel it.
Yeah, that's right. They feel it.
They're your equal, just in case you didn't know that in God's eyes. Their sin ain't no worse than yours. Don't treat them like that. I'm telling you now, we get all puffy and we start looking at them like that, and they see that we think that we live above them, and that's why they're not in church today. God can do His work just fine without us. We need to realize that and move out of the way and let God have His way before we destroy the work that God wants to accomplish. God knows a lot better than what we do that what's going to make them see what they need to. But the more we get in the way, the less they see. Just because we got saved and have a testimony doesn't mean that the whole world will now get saved. If anything, we hinder the work of God by the way we live, the things we say, and how we treat others. The reason why these pews are not full with our family or friends is because people can't see past us and our foolishness and can't see God. How about that? They can't see God through you. All they see is you. Who in the right mind would want to be a Christian looking at me? But when they see God, when they see God in your life, and they see what Jesus Christ is doing in your life, then they might want something. But you know what? We're too busy going out there living our life any way we want, saying anything we want, being a fool, and wondering why these people can't see why we see the things we do. They wonder why they don't want the things of Jesus Christ. Wonder why they don't want the things of God or to pick up a Bible. They've heard it a million times. And now we've got you standing in front of them trying to tell them, well, this life is better. They can't get past seeing you to see God. Because you're too busy being in the way. And I'm going to finish up with this. The reason why these pews are not full with our family and friends is because they can't see past us and our foolishness. Because we are too busy being in the way of God and His workings. It's time for us to move out of the way and let God get in their way and open their understanding. If I sat back and all anybody was seeing was me, I wouldn't want anything to do with Christianity. We need to love them, live our testimony in the faith, the big faith you say that you have when times of troubles come, you run. The reading, praying, staying in church, sharing the word. And most important, as it says in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Then and only then will they see and hear the things of God. Most of the people, the reason why they're not in churches today is because they look at you as an example of a Christian. And they don't want it. That's just the truth. I have family. Family who knows. They know plain outright the type of life that I live, who I was, seeing what I seen. Let me ask you something right now. Why are they not filling this church pews? Answer me that question. Because they haven't seen past me. They haven't seen enough of God in my life to want to desire what I have. They haven't seen enough of Jesus Christ in my life. Why? Because I fail. And you know what? I believe that's one of the reasons why God has brought me to the place where I'm at today. The struggle that I'm in. It's because I must decrease so that He can increase. So that they can see Jesus Christ in me and not me. And I believe that. And I'm done.